Now, Edgar, I have a question for you. Most rational people try to avoid storms at any cost. Do you ever think to yourself, hey, maybe let's not go after the storm? Or better yet, maybe let's go in the opposite direction of that storm.
Not really, because I'm probably not a very rational person, I think, to do this. So,
welcome, MythFits.
I'm Carrie Byron.
And I'm Tori Belleci. Welcome back, Carrie. Good to see you. It's been a while. Well, not that long.
It's been
long.
Like a whole week.
So listen to this. I just went to a friend's going away party. He's leaving California. And then another good friend of ours is moving out of California. Everybody's leaving the state. And in fact, my brother, he just moved his whole family to Texas. And so I get this call the other day from my parents, and they're like, okay, you know, we don't want to freak you out, but we just got a call from your brother. There's this huge storm going through Texas, and they all had to move out of a room with any window. So he basically just gathered up his whole family and moved down into the basement until the storm passed. And I'm just like, yeah, like we have earthquakes here in California, but they're so few and far in between that to me, a tornado or a storm, I'll take earthquakes all day.
Oh, yeah. I always, when I'm talking to people that come from the, you know, Midwest and Tornado Alley, like, they're always like, oh, my God, it's so scary. You guys live out there with earthquakes. But they happen all the time. And it's like a little shake. And I'm like, like, it might wake me up. And I've had one really, really big earthquake, like 1989. Mind you, that was terrifying. But I've had one in my lifetime, whereas tornadoes seem to be happening all the freaking time. I was actually just recently in Oklahoma City, and I was hanging out with this guy, Val Castor. We were filming something, and he's a storm tracker and a meteorologist.
I watch those guys, and I just think to myself, are you insane? Like, why are you doing that? You're literally heading towards disaster. Like that. What happened to you? What happened that you're driving
seriously
towards disaster?
Tori, I know you.
What? You're looking at me?
I know you.
I'm not that crazy. I do stupid stuff, but I'm not that. I'm not like a death wish. I don't have a death wish, Carrie.
Dory, I've seen you jump off buildings, be locked in a coffin with snakes. I've seen you try to jump a wagon in with a beach cruiser. I've seen you buried alive. I've seen you do so many insane things. There's no way you can tell me that you wouldn't have been a storm chaser before you were a family man.
Maybe. I don't know. It's so unpredictable. But, you know, we tested a lot of storm and weather-related myths. Do you remember we were testing, do metal cleats attract lightning more than plastic cleats? And I remember we went out to this facility. It was like the electric company's facility. And
PG&E.
They have this giant, like, lightning creator. It would create these giant lightning bolts so that they could test their equipment out. So if if their transformers gets hit by lightning, will it explode? And so they let us come and bring our ballistic gel golfers into this facility. And I just remember it was like the coolest thing, because they would just charge it up and then a huge bolt of lightning would shoot out of this huge probe.
Man, I love all the places that we got access to. I mean, we got to go to NASA. We got to go to IndyCar. But, like, this was local. This was so crazy that you could actually see those giant lightning bolts indoors. And we did a couple myths there. We did, like, the kite for Ben Franklin to see if lightning could hit the kite and then, you know, charge up the key. Like, I mean, what a cool experience to be able to go into a facility like that. Like, there's no way without being on MythBusters I would have known that even existed. We're so lucky. I mean, when you're a little kid, you're scared of thunder and lightning, but like when you actually see it, it is terrifying up close.
Yeah. You know, a good buddy of mine actually got hit by lightning when he was a kid. He's got this crazy story. Yeah. It's like, it like blew his shoe off, or like, he was running through a graveyard. I forget the details, but he got hit by lightning, and it is the most insane story. I almost wish we can get him. You know what? I'm going to call him right now. I know this is.
Dude, you're going to call him?
Well, I just want to see. It's such a good story that I feel like I'm going to screw it up. I'm not going to have all the details. And you're going to love this story. Let's see.
Yes, please. Yeah. Please. This is crazy.
Walshy, what's up?
Hey.
Dude, what are you doing right now? I know this. We're recording a podcast, and I was wondering if you would quickly come on and just tell the story of when you got hit by lightning.
Of course. Let's go.
All right. Let's go. Walshy, thank you for coming on. This is Carrie. Carrie, this is Mike Walsh. He's a good friend of mine.
Hi, Carrie.
Wow, you don't look like you've been struck by lightning.
You don't see the bottom half of me.
Oh, God. I want to know everything. Where were you? How did it feel? Oh, my God. I've never met anybody who's like been just hit by lightning. This is crazy.
So I was 14, sophomore in high school. And my buddies and I used to go every week. We'd go to the Holy Cross football game. This is in Worcester, Massachusetts. And we'd walk there. And our walking path took us through this really long cemetery called Hope Cemetery. So great game, great day, beautifully blue, sunny skies. And we're coming back and we're in the middle of the cemetery. And it goes from like blue skies to pitch black, and there's nowhere to go. And my cousin and I and the rest of our friends, but my cousin and I grew up next to each other in Worcester, and we always used to play in lightning storms. I mean, just like storms. We used to love storms. So anyhow, we're in the middle of the cemetery. It starts hailing, and we see lightning hit a tree, and the tree just starts smoking. But, you know, it's a very long cemetery, so we just start running. toward home, which was, we're still probably 2 miles from home, but we start running in that direction, and we see the lightning hit a tree, and my buddy Chuck, we called him Scott, and I just start sprinting. There are 10 of us, all good buddies, and I don't know if it was the lightning hitting me or after I was hit, or just before I was hit. But I remember seeing like a shelf of light, because it was pitch black at this point, where it was like 10 foot tall and it was all bright. And the next thing I knew, I'm on the ground. My sock was on fire. I could smell smoke.
What?
Oh my God, dude. That's so insane.
Your sock is on fire? And you're running through a graveyard? And lightning hits you?
It's crazy. So I'm on the ground and my buddy Chuck is on the ground next to me. I forgot which one said it first. I think he said, Walshy, I think I've been hit by lightning. And I was like, yeah, me too. and we caught up, but everything was super disorienting. Like our brains just weren't working. So I started running in the wrong direction. Sock is still on.
That's what happened to you. Now it all makes sense, Mike.
Still recovering. So my sock's on fire, and I think I like kind of dusted it out, and I'm running in the wrong direction, and my friends turned me around. And I remember saying, hey, will someone grab my leg? And because I couldn't feel anything below my knee, so I thought my leg was blown off.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and whoever it was, one of my buddies, is like, you have your leg, you're running, so
you're good.
You didn't touch your leg.
You didn't mean touch it to make sure you had feeling. You meant you thought that you left your leg behind, and somebody needed to pick it up and bring it?
Exactly, yeah.
Oh, my God.
It was just, I couldn't feel anything below my knee.
Did it knock your shoe off?
It was hanging off, so it was...
Okay.
I had a pair of Chuck Taylors. In fact, my friend Chuck's mom called, I guess, because I don't even think there was email at the time, and called the CEO of Converse and told the story, and we got free leather high top Chuck Taylors because we couldn't afford them.
Oh, that's awesome!
It was a huge win, but my canvas Chucks were like hanging off, so I had braces at the time. So I think it hit, it was cut all along the side, about three quarters or so, but along the eyelets. So the eyelets might have saved me. Otherwise, it might have hit me in the face with my bracelet.
Oh, my God, dude.
Yeah.
That's so we're wild. Running,
we're running, and I'm running on something that I can't feel with my foot, my sneaker flopping along. And we run straight out. And Chuck and I, somehow, we're still kind of like ahead of the rest of the pack. And we run into this house, no knocking. First house we see. Of course, they're horrified. And it's still in Worcester. And they're like, what's going on? What's going on? And we've been hit by lightning. So we're sitting. Someone calls an ambulance. I guess my cousin had my home phone number. He calls my parents. And we still can't process. Like, we still can't hold a train of thought at all. And I remember we're sitting on Chuck and I next to each other, their carpeted steps, waiting for an ambulance or my parents to show up, whoever got there first. And our friends are like, they're all like, what the hell was that? are they going to make it? Because we weren't quite sure what was going on. I had heart palpitation.
Dude. Oh, my God.
Just could not hold a train of thought.
Not the phone call your parents are expecting to get, like when you're in trouble. Your son's been hit by lightning. Like, that's crazy.
Right.
Exactly. And then they got there before the ambulance, which is crazy. We were only a couple miles from the house, but anyhow, they got there first and we said, cancel the ambulance or whatever. We didn't go in the ambulance. We're like, just take us to the hospital because we started feeling a little bit better. We knew we weren't 100% yet, but
you think?
Yeah, but we thought we were pretty good. So we're like, no, we'll just go with my parents. And we get in the car, and going back to the fact that we used to run around in the storms and they didn't love it because my dad's tornado experience. They're like, you sure you're okay? You sure you're okay? We're like, yeah, no, we're going to be fine. I think I broke my elbow, which I did. By the way, our buddy said we're on the ground for like a minute, got thrown like 10 feet up in the air. And, that could be 14-year-olds exaggerating, but that's what they said. But I did break my elbow. And when I told my parents, I'm like, I'm okay. I think we're going to be okay. They're like, what are you doing playing thunderstorms?
This is why I told you not to play in the thunderstorm.
Exactly. God, the most I told you so moment of a parent's life ever. All you kids out there, listen to us. You could get hit by lightning if you go play in a storm. God.
But then tell the story about years later, like in your adult life, you went to the dentist and tell them that story.
Oh, yeah. So we get to the hospital, broke my elbow, had a heart palpitation and stuff. And we're like, what do we do? What do we do to like, is there any treatment? They're like, I don't know. Most people that show up they show up in an ambulance and they die from the lightning.
Most people don't survive this.
Yeah. So we don't really have any advice. So then many years later, I moved to LA and from Boston and I had, I went to a new dentist. She asked me, she's like, have you ever been electrocuted? And I was like, no. Why do you ask? And she said, you have all these tiny micro fractures in your teeth. And I've only seen it before when people have been electrocuted. And I was like, oh, I was hit by lightning. And she's like, well, yeah, you've been electrocuted.
Wait, so all of your teeth have micro fractures in them?
Yeah, a lot of micro fractures, which...
That's so crazy.
I've moved a lot. So when I go to a new city, I have a new dentist. They're like, yeah, I guess that explains it. I mean, I don't know what else would have done
that. Oh, yeah. I got hit by lightning.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, can we just talk about the fact that your dentist sees a lot of people that have been electrocuted, so like knows what to look for? Wow.
Yeah, that's true. There's a crazy little side note to this whole thing about the brain part of it, if you want me to go into that.
Yeah, go ahead. Tell us. I'm so interested on the science of this.
It scrambles
your
brain.
What happens to your brain when you get hit by lightning?
It was totally scrambled. And I can't really, the only way to describe it is that I just couldn't hold a thought. And Chuck's was the same way. We just couldn't hold a thought. In fact, like 10 years later, I went back to Massachusetts and we're hanging out. He's like, do you have any anything that happens as a result of the lightning? I'm like, well, in addition to the obvious, I'm not quite right, but I hear this ringing noise every now and then, and it's really piercing and kind of like disorienting. He's like, no way, I hear that too. So that was a weird thing.
Oh, dude, thank you so much for coming on and telling that story. It's like, it's so perfect, and I love you. I miss you. It's good to see you, dude.
Same, brother. Miss you too. Love you. Good to see you again, Carrie.
Don't go walking through cemeteries in the rain.
I won't.
Lesson yeah. Did you learn your lesson, kid?
Yeah. All right. See you guys.
Trey, I don't know about you, but trying to find the perfect, memorable, beautiful gift that just focuses on family and memories is difficult. That's where Aura Frames comes in. I got this frame for my mom and I love it because basically we put a bunch of digital pictures on this frame, and anybody who has access can add photos in. So my sister and I just filled it with like grandkid pictures and memories, and it just scrolls through everything that we want her to think about during the holidays.
The first one we got from my parents, and they loved it so much that they bought all the kids one. So now we're all connected as a family, and people are loading up photos from time to time, and it's so awesome because you're keeping up on everybody's life.
I actually put one in my daughter's room so that she could remember all of the awesomeness of our full relationship together. Because I feel like when they don't get a long-term memory until they're like 7. So I want her to remember that trip to Legoland, to Disneyland, all of the traditions, all of the time we spent together. And I feel like it just continually jogs her memory to be like, oh yeah, mommy took me there.
The best part is unlimited free photos and video. Just download the Aura app and connect to Wi-Fi. You can also preload it with photos before it ships, and you can keep adding from anywhere, anytime. Share photos and videos effortlessly, straight from your phone all year long.
And for a limited time, visit AuraFrames.com and get $45 off Aura's best-selling Carver Matte Frames, named number one by Wirecutter, by using promo code MYTHFITS at checkout. That's AuraFrames.com, promo code MYTHFITS. This exclusive Black Friday Cyber Monday deal is their best of the year. So order now before it ends. Support the show by mentioning us at checkout. Terms and conditions apply. Hey guys, welcome back to MYTHFITS. I mean, Tori, that lightning story was insane. I can't even wrap my head around how crazy it is for him to be like running through a cemetery, get hit by lightning, and then like his parents answer the phone. Like, that is the strangest explanation. Oh my God.
Yeah. And what's funny is like, he is insane. Like, I mean, he's like a great time. Like when we go out, we just get crazy, but now it makes sense. Like he got his wires fried. It all makes sense now that Mike Walsh is the way he is, and I love that.
I love all your friends have like nicknames. He's Walshy. Like that's how you I know you love somebody, is they have some sort of nickname to them like that.
You know, there's one year we went to Sundance, and it was like this big group from Manhattan Beach that he would hang out with. And so we get into Salt Lake City, and this guy brought a cane and a neck brace. And we would just go into the shopping centers or, you know, in the grocery stores, and he would just fake like falling. He would just fall in the middle of the grocery store, and people would come over and like, are you okay? Are you okay? And I have some of it on video, but it was just like, they're just hilarious. These crazy,
ahead of your time with all of that social media stuff.
No, we're actually behind the times. We were.
Oh, this is when you were old.
This was like a couple of years ago.
Okay. I've been obsessed with lightning for a long time. I just think it's so cool. And I remember sitting on the back porch of my Aunt Betty's house and just watching the thunder and lightning, and just it was always so cool. And in fact, I was on a date one time where he was a pilot, and he flew in for this date. We were, you know, out on the wharf. We were kind of like walking around, and we decided.
Was this a blind date?
No, sort of. It was a fix up. Was a fix up.
But you knew who, like, you kind of, did you know what he looked like, or?
I sort of knew what he looked like. Honestly, our friend Craig Ferguson hooked me up with him. It was his pilot. And okay. So he came with references,
Way
right?
to name drop.
well, Megan, his wife, was really the one that fixed me up. They're like, we love him. He's single. You're single. Anyway, he came with references, right? So okay. We're walking around. It's starting to get stormy. And all of a sudden, the thunder and lightning starts. So we've got a bottle of wine. We're just sitting on a bench watching the sea kind of get higher, the bay getting higher and higher, and start to, like, the waves are kind of crashing up really, really high up onto the pier. And then we watch lightning strike the bay bridge.
Whoa. Like,
I mean, the whole sky lit up. I mean, this turned out to be the thunderstorms that started the epic fires that happened in California.
It was remember
just
that.
A wild night.
I remember that. We went up on the roof of where I was living at the time in San Francisco, and because we saw the lightning strikes were hitting Twin Peaks. And so I was like getting these slow motion shots on my phone. And it was like the dumbest thing. You look at a lightning storm. Why don't you run up on your roof?
Clearly, from Walsh's story right there, you probably don't want to be outside when this kind of stuff happens. So, like, right? that's why I was like, I think it's time to end this date when we're seeing, like, that happening. And he couldn't fly home, so he had to spend the night at a hotel downtown.
Speaking of lightning strikes, do you have a photo of that?
I do have a photo of that, actually. Oh, yeah. So one of our, it's funny enough, I saw a photo of it online, mm-hmm. and the photographer that took this photo was, see that photo?
Whoa.
See how crazy that is? I saw this photo on Instagram later, and I'm like, yes, this is what was happening. So it turns out the photographer that took this photo, Carlos Gonzalez, is the cousin of one of our old producers on Mythbusters.
No way.
Small world. Very, very small world. So I asked if I could, have a copy of this photo because it was just such an epic night and such a beautiful thing to watch. And like, I will never forget it.
You know what? I'm going to see if I can pull up the video from when I was on the rooftop because it's literally like one of the craziest slow motion videos I've ever taken.
You took a video of it?
Yeah. And
so
I posted it.
So you're standing outside with a phone up in the air?
Right? So dumb.
It's getting worse.
Yeah. But I posted it and some news network reached out and they're like, is it okay if we use this footage? Because like,
really?
This is yeah, it was nuts. I'll pull it up and post it. I'll send it to you. I wanted to show you this video that's going viral. It's a basketball court during a storm. The lightning hits the court and then it liquefies and like gets molten and falls down.
Whoa.
Now, I am sure at this point that a lot of you guys have seen this video right here claiming that they captured some sort of glitch in the Matrix. This clip has been going viral everywhere. I've been tagged in it and DM'd in it many, many times, and it shows this guy recording some sort of sports field where lightning is striking. Strange part about this, though, is that the lightning turns into a liquid directly after striking the ground, and as you can see, the field is covered in this liquid. There were a lot of people in the comments as well, I assume going along with the joke, but here's the problem. Even if you're going along with the joke, other people that don't know what this is are going to believe you. This comment right here claims that it's called lightning liquidity, which actually does sound pretty legit. It only happens when the temperature is below 0 degrees Celsius and the dew point is low, the lightning absorbs the dew. This comment got 50,000 likes, and I'm sure a bunch of people believed it. I'm gonna burst your bubble, though. This is absolutely fake and edited.
There we go. Busted. Yeah. Look at that. We're busting viral videos as we talk.
When he said liquid lightning, I'm like, that's not a thing.
Right? But I thought it was funny.
Tori, remember that clip you sent me of Alan Pan? He was the guy, he was one of the contestants on the search for the next Mythbusters. And he did like a lightning, like a cool lightning video.
Yes.
Okay, so you sent me this clip. It's Alan Pan, and he's kind of doing something that we did. Like
it
we
looks
talked
a little
about this earlier.
Familiar, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a Tesla coil, and it's just kind of like he's seeing who's gonna get hit. But
so he's got these four dummies set up. They're these wood dummies that he made, and then one of them's holding a sword. One has a golf club. And one has an umbrella, and he was trying to see which lightning strike would hit first. Like, where would the lightning go to first?
Yeah, in case you're, walking around in a lightning storm with a sword. Actually, one of your friends might do that. That Alan Pan guy is crazy. I feel like we need to have him on the show once sometime. He's like crazy like you.
Oh my God, that's a great idea, because he was one of the contestants on the search, Mythbusters search. So I would love to hear what he has to say while filming that show.
Get all the dirt. Yeah, I mean, I think that they are using the same Tesla coil, or at least the same concept of what you used for the White Rabbit project when we were trying to simulate superhero powers. And
yeah,
your I was superhero like Lightning had Man. Like, yeah, you were like Lightning Man.
It was it's kind of crazy because they put me in the steel mesh suit. You know, it's like the suit of armor underneath the chainmail. And so that allows the lightning or the electricity, the bolts, to pass through the suit and not through your body. So I was literally shooting bolts of lightning out of my hand. And it was cool because we had these like ninja set up, but they were like balloons filled with methane gas. So I would hit the heads and they would explode, you know, make these fireballs. But what happened is when we first started, there was a hole in the chainmail. And so it was like tasing me in the hand. And I'm like, is this supposed to happen? Like, this isn't supposed to be happening, right? Like, isn't it supposed to pass through the suit, not into my hand? And they had to like readjust it. But then it was totally safe. But it was pretty fun.
What a weird experience to have.
I know.
The job that you and I have held has 3,000 weird stories. Like, oh, this one time I came to work, put on a chainmail suit, and just radiated lightning. Like, these are not regular bar stories when you're sitting around being like, oh yeah, let me tell you about the old days. Like, the old days were
totally
weird.
Anyway, speaking of golfing in a storm, there was this guy at a driving range. He hits a golf ball, and let me show you what happens.
Oh, wow. So he hits a golf ball into the air and lightning strikes the golf ball before it lands. That's bananas, because it's the highest thing in the air.
Is that crazy?
Okay, what are you doing in a lightning storm with a golf club, dude? Have you not seen Mythbusters?
But look how crazy that is. The lightning strikes the golf ball. It's so rad.
You never know what's going to happen. I can't believe the things that people catch on video. Like, they're just filming this guy at a driving range, and all of a sudden, lightning hitting his golf ball.
But how crazy is it that they're still there? I mean, that storm is insane, but these guys are still at the driving range. They're like, nope, I'm not giving up.
I feel like we clearly need to have a conversation with everybody. We've gotten a little too relaxed around lightning.
I got another clip that I want to show you. It's this phenomenon that happens during a lightning storm. If it will hit like a power line, and then that surge of energy will just run up and down the street following the power lines. Check this out.
What?
Right? It almost looks fake.
It does look fake.
It's like, is that AI? So you see this city street, just for people who are listening. It's a city street at night during a lightning storm. You see the lightning hit like a telephone pole way down the street. And then you see this ball of white light follow the power line, cross the street, and then head back down the other side of the street. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
I mean, I hate now that anytime I see something cool, I assume it's AI before I assume it's real.
I know.
Like, that is just way too cool looking.
Sad that that's the state we're in. It's like, yeah, it's hard to believe what you see anymore.
All right. After looking at all these clips and hearing the story from your friend, clearly we're all getting a little too relaxed around lightning and storms. So we've got our friend Edgar O'Neill, the storm chaser, to come on and bust a couple myths for us about what you should do if there's a tornado, lightning, or a storm.
That's right. Stick around, because it is the season of storms. You don't want to miss this.
Tori, I know this isn't actually something you have to deal with because your dog doesn't have any teeth, but when I was trying to figure out the right dog food for Ziggy...
Are you making fun of my little Roy boy?
No, no.
Why are you hating on my little Roy? He's struggling right now.
I love little Roy, but I'm pretty sure you just need soft food. But for me, I had to make a choice. Like, you could either have like fresh and healthy food, Or you can get like the easy to store and serve stuff, but you can't have both. You know what I mean? But you don't have to choose anymore, thanks to Sundays for Dogs. Ever since I switched to Sundays for Dogs, I noticed that my dog is excited for her breakfast. She is running to me the minute she can hear the food being like put into her bowl. It's basically a bowl of jerky. It looks like something a human would eat. And she's been, you know, she's got skin issues because she is a bully. So she seems less itchy. She's more calm and focused. I guess you can say she's in a better mood, but she's a dog. Like, her whole day is just sleeping and being cuddled by me. Why wouldn't she be in a good mood? But yes, I've seen her really, really improve since she had Sunday for Dogs.
Oh, that's awesome.
Sundays is fresh, air-dried food made from clean ingredients. Recipes are customized on the needs of your dog, its size, breed, allergies, activity levels, and more. For instance, my dog is a tiny little staffy, so clearly I'm going to get beef because cow is the natural prey of a Staffordshire Bull Terrier. Unlike other fresh dog food, Sundays does not require thawing, refrigeration, or preparation because it's air-drying process. You just pour and serve, which I totally appreciate. There's nothing grosser than...
Oh, tell me about it.
Food.
Every morning I got to get up and I got to dish out wet dog food. It gets all over my hands.
I'm going to get your dog some dentures. I feel like Roy can have like a really nice grill of just silver teeth.
Every Sunday's order ships right to your door, so you'll never worry about running out of dog food again. And you can cancel or pause your subscription anytime with Sunday's 14-day money-back guarantee.
Make the switch to Sundays. Go right now to sundaysfordogs.com/mythfits and get 50% off your first order. Or you can use code MythFits at checkout.
That's 50% off your first order at sundaysfordogs.com/mythfits. Visit sundaysfordogs.com/mythfits or use code MythFits at checkout. Welcome back, MythFits. Now we are about to talk to Edgar O'Neill. He is a storm chaser and he's going to give us some tips on what to do if you're ever stuck in a storm.
Hey there. Welcome.
Welcome.
Hey, how are y'all?
Thanks for coming on our show. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm excited to be on the show and, you know, talk to the Mythbusters.
I gotta say, it's so strange. I have slowly just gathered a friend group of more and more storm trackers, storm chasers. Like, I guess it's just people who are really into adrenaline and science.
Yeah, for sure. We like... If you like adrenaline and science, I mean, what better thing to do than storm chase? It like merges those two things together. Yeah, it's insane.
Now, Edgar, I have a question for you. Most rational people try to avoid storms at any cost. Do you ever think to yourself, hey, maybe let's not go after the storm, or better yet, maybe let's go in the opposite direction of that storm? Does that ever cross your mind?
Not really, because I'm probably not a very rational person, I think, to do this. So, it always is funny when there's several times where you're just beelining it towards a tornado and you just see all these cars running away from it. And you're like,
doesn't that tell you something?
I'm doing this. Yeah, it tells me I need to make better decisions sometimes.
All right. Since you're an expert in tornadoes, what kind of advice would you give people who are trying to prep themselves? Like just a layman that's like, okay, one's coming. I'm inexperienced. What do you do?
I think that's a great question. The first thing you should do is be prepared way before it ever happened. Like, know where your safe spot is in your home. If you have a storm shelter, that's the best case scenario. If you don't have a storm shelter, like, recognize which room in your home has no exterior walls and is the farthest away from the outside. Those are the things that I always encourage people to do. And it's not time to think about that whenever the tornado warning happens, because you need to just be able to know and go there. Mm. So I think the best thing you could do if you live in those areas is to prep. Now, if you're in your vehicle and a tornado is coming towards you, see, that's something there needs to be. That myth I need to find out of getting out of your car in the middle of a tornado and getting in a ditch is safer than staying in your vehicle.
Ooh,
that's a hard one for me. And I think the National Weather Service maybe even suggests that if that's the case, try to get into a ditch. I don't think I would ever do that, just being around a lot of tornadoes, but that would be a really fun myth to try to bust, to be honest. Yeah.
How can you tell when a storm is truly dangerous versus just like loud and dramatic?
Yeah. I mean, the first thing you want to know is if it's a supercell, and all a supercell is a storm that's rotating. So you can look at radar and see that if the storm itself has rotation in it. And then, you know, you start looking for all the signs of a tornado. One of the first things you'll see is a wall cloud come down, which is just basically any lowering that comes down from the base of one of those supercells. And a lot of times you can really tell a tornado will happen because when that wall cloud comes down, you can already see that wall cloud cranking, just spinning and spinning. And you're waiting for that contact with the ground, which makes it officially a tornado at that point. But yeah, you're just... Yeah, the tornadoes are, it's insane when you go through those stages of, you know, spinning storm, then a wall cloud, then a funnel cloud, and a tornado. And, you know, sometimes that could take 3 or 4 hours for a storm, sometimes like 5 minutes. It's insane.
I was wondering what that waiting game is like. Like, do you spend a lot of time just sitting in the car hoping that one's coming? I mean, or is it just hours?
Oh, it's hours. Average storm chase day, you know, people only see the exciting part. It's like 14 hours of waiting and doing nothing for 2 hours of excitement and adrenaline. You know, there's special days where there's like multiple tornadoes and they happen all day long. But most of the time you're just sitting and waiting and trying to be patient. And yeah, that's the hard part. Sometimes I always say you just drive around in circles a lot when you're storm chasing, trying to be patient in the beginning. It's the thing I have the hardest doing. I don't sit still. So it makes it a little difficult at times.
You don't seem like a person that sits still for long.
Not at all.
So what's the biggest myth about storm safety that people still believe?
Every town, this is it. You come in, you're a storm. Oh, they never hit our town. They come right to our town. They go up, they go over our town and come down. Yeah, that doesn't ever happen. But every town that I go in says that. Or there's like, oh, we have a river here and it won't cross the river. So there's a lot of those types of things. Or we live in the mountains. Tornadoes don't happen in the mountains. That's a lie. I've seen tornadoes in mountains and bluffs. I mean, they happen everywhere. So I think that's one of the biggest myths. A lot of people get very comfortable because, you know, their town hasn't ever been hit, but that's not because it can't get hit. It just means right. A tornado hasn't came there yet.
Myth busted. Cautionary tale. Nice.
Edgar, thank you so much for coming on Myth Bits. This has been so fascinating to hear what you do. I mean, it sounds a little crazy, as dangerous as it is, but hearing what you go through, it's just something I would never do.
Bulls. Tori, in another life, you're a storm chaser.
I would never do that.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun. Thank you so much.
Those were actually some really good tips. And next time I'm out in a tornado alley, now I know what to do.
Oh, that was awesome. Oh my gosh.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. Stay weird, stay safe, and don't go running through graveyards.
Don't run if there's a lightning storm. During a storm.
No golf, nothing. But you can stay weird. Till next time. Later, Misfits.
See you, Misfits.
Pioneer.